this week, you know, it seems that over the last couple of weeks, there's this overriding theme of holiness and righteousness surfacing over and over again as I read and as I see things. And I mean, even when I look at Facebook, I see it coming up. Now, it could be, it's just that portion of the Torah cycle that we're in, right? We're in the midst of Leviticus, that time that we keep getting, that we come up with all of these instructions on how to live holy, how to live righteously. But I got to be honest with you, it's the same cycle as previous years, but this year I'm getting impressed with righteousness and holiness over and over and over again. So there's something, who knows? Who knows that the Ruach will lead you in how to pray and meditate and what you see. And it means something. It's important to see and hear and listen. So today I want to say something that, you know, it may seem obvious to everybody or most everybody, but it's well worth hearing every once in a while or even over and over again. And that's this. In order to walk in holiness and righteousness, it can't be just an accident. It cannot be an accident. That means that this walk of holiness and righteousness, that's our walk on our path towards the Ruach, towards the Father, towards Yeshua, it's got to be deliberate. It's got to be intentional. You can't just hope that having a general attitude about life or just generally being a good person is going to get you where you need to be. You can't just think that hanging around other people who are holy and righteous, that you're going to become it too. That it's going to be like rub off or maybe osmosis or something. It doesn't work that way. You have to be intentional about the way you live to be holy and righteous. This was brought to my mind while reading this week's Haftorah portion, actually. And it's going to tie back into the Torah portion as well. Because the verse Ezekiel 44:19 stuck out to me. It was talking about the priests of Adonai. So let's look at Ezekiel 44:19. It says this, before they go out of the outer court, and he's talking about the priests, to the outer courtyard of the people, they must take off their garments in which they minister and leave them in the holy chambers. They will put on other garments so they do not consecrate the people while in the garments. So there are two reasons, really, to take off the garments of the Lord and put on other clothes. There are really two reasons to put on other garments. First is you just don't want to be walking around naked in the courtyard. Okay, that seems obvious. But the second one is important. Because you may ask, what's wrong with wearing these garments of the Lord that were meant to be in the temple? Why not wear them out of the temple? Because it says so it doesn't consecrate other people. Now, consecrate, of course, means to set apart for Adonai or to be in his presence. But if they're not clean, being in his presence is not a good thing. Amen. If you're not cleansed, it would mean you're going to be killed, die, or at least separate from the people, from his camp. Now, this theme is actually a repetition of a word that's given in the Torah portion this week. Within Leviticus 22, it says this, starting in verse 3. Tell them, if any of all your offspring throughout your generations approaches the holy things which B'nai Israel consecrate to Adonai, while in a state of uncleanliness, that soul will be cut off from before me. I am Adonai. The unclean cannot stand before Adonai, and live. If the people would be consecrated while unclean, they would not be allowed to live. Or as it says there, they would be cut off from the Lord, cut off from Adonai. It was just like the instructions at Mount Sinai. Right? Remember when Moses went to go get the tablets? The Lord's instruction was, make sure they don't come up onto the mountain. Not even the foothills of the mountain. Because they would be struck down. Because they're not consecrated. They're not cleansed first. So this Haftorah portion is actually a part of a larger section of Ezekiel. Because that section starts in chapter 40. Ezekiel's taken in a vision around the temple area by a man to show him the temple and all the things about the temple. And in chapter 44 of Ezekiel, he's told about the roles of the Levites and the priests. And it says this in Ezekiel 44:23. They will teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and explain to them the difference between the unclean and the clean. They were to teach all of Adonai's people the difference between holy and common, so that the people could act the right way. It was so that they could make right decisions about the clean and unclean articles, and also in the ways to act towards them. It indicates that they, and we today, need to make actual decisions about what we do and how to do so that we'll be holy and righteous. We are not to just spiritually wander around, letting ourselves be pushed about by the winds and waves of life in this world. In fact, Rav Shaul spoke about the role of shepherds and teachers, who are the Levites and priests in the Tanakh, in Ephesians 4, and that we should need to be students of his word and what we should be getting out of it. Now, Ephesians 4:14 says this, as a result, we are no longer to be like children, tossed about by the waves and the blow, tossed about by the waves and blown all over by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men and cunning and deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all ways into Messiah, who is the head. Shaul is saying that we need to make decisions to not act as children who are not able to protect themselves from the wind and the waves of the world. The teachers were to teach so that the people would be able and equipped to make the right decisions. So they would be able to discern and recognize the actions of the world and of Satan, so that they could avoid the pitfalls and the harm that come with being pushed around, not able to control their own direction. Going back again to Ezekiel 44, when I read 23, remember it said this, they will teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, so that's the first part, that what the teachers would do, and explain to them the difference between the unclean and the clean. We have to know the difference between what is holy and what is common, and those actions that we're to take regarding the holy and righteous. Because those that are common, because we just, let me put it this way, we can't just stumble around and expect to handle the holy and righteous things correctly. You have to know the difference between holy and common, and then you have to intentionally handle them or intentionally walk in a direction that you were meant to through Adonai. When we look into chapter 21 of Leviticus, we see that so many of the verses start out either by the words, you know, what do we got here? So you see, there's so many verses that start out or contains the word that they were not to allow themselves. The priests were not to allow themselves, with instructions. Or they were not to become, allow themselves to become unholy by, instructions. They were given the instructions because there were choices to be made. These instructions were not just here. They were, here's the instruction. You have the choice to follow the instruction to be holy and righteous or not to follow. But if you're not following, you're going to become common, unclean. We all know, we want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, when that end time comes, don't we? But we also know there's a big difference between, well, it's done, and well done. Right? When we're stumbling around and we get something and it's accomplished, but it wasn't done the way we really wanted to get it done, what do we say? Well, it's done. That's all I can say about it. At least it's done. But I'm going to tell you something. Results are not always what Adonai is looking for. Amen. Because if the results are what you think he wanted, but you do it with a heart attitude that's different than he wanted, he is not going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because were you good and faithful? No, that's what is more important about that sentence. Good and faithful is more important than well done. Adonai will never say well done if our heart attitude is not right. If your heart attitude is not intentional to give him the glory, intentional to do his will, there's no way you're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Even as we're to walk in a manner that's holy and righteous, Adonai knows there are people who are going to be in a state of ritual uncleanliness. And he doesn't speak against them, but he does put boundaries around to protect them. Not to harm them, not to constrain them, but to prosper the community and to protect both the person who's ritually unclean as well as the community. And as true as it is about ritual uncleanliness, so it is about sin today. It's the reason for the Torah instructions, for the blood, and for Messiah sacrifice. But as best we can in this life, we're called to remove ourselves from those things that defile us. As best we can. Hear the words of Shaul in that second letter to the Corinthians, starting in 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Adonai. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will take you in. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, and says Adonai Tetzvaot. Therefore, since we have these promises, loved ones, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This takes place when we're working on being holy and righteous, making decisions, taking actions that help us through life while staying aligned with Him. Throughout Scripture, we're called to separate ourselves from idols and not to touch unclean things. The good news is we don't have to do it all on our own, all by ourselves. We have that very great help from the Ruach HaKodesh, from the Holy Spirit. He is here to help us on this journey of life. Now, if I can, let me make a comparison of life and going down the river in a canoe. How many have gone canoeing? Right? Very few of you. So let me tell you a little bit about canoeing. There are two ways of getting down in a river on a canoe. All right? One is just to float down. Right? You're sitting in the canoe, you're not doing anything, and you're just floating down. You hit things. You get turned around. You might even get tipped over and wet. But if you're lucky, you get downriver alive. That's if you do nothing. Just sit there and let things happen to you. You're unintentionally, you know, letting things happen. The other way is to paddle down the river. Even when the river's pushing you, the river might be strong enough to get you going, but it's not the way you want to get down there. So you need to be the one paddling even as the river is pushing you. Now here's something, if you haven't been in a canoe, you may not know. You can't steer a canoe if it's going slower than or at the same speed as the water you're in. There's no steering a canoe that's going the same speed as the river. You have to be going faster than the water is moving in order to control the canoe. It's just that way. You have to be intentional about going down the river. You have to be paddling to get yourself faster than the water, because the only way of steering is for excess water to hit the paddle that turns you. And if you're going at the same speed, you might as well be putting it in water that's not moving, because you can't control anything then. Now, something else you may not know. The person in the front, if it's a two-man canoe, the person in the front is actually not steering. All he's doing is giving force to the canoe moving forward. He controls how fast the canoe is actually moving. The person in the back is doing all the steering. And quite frankly, if you have two people in a canoe and they both think they're going to steer the canoe, they're both in trouble. There is no two people steering a canoe successfully. The person in the back, here's the more important thing maybe even. The person in the back who's doing the steering is normally the stronger canoer, the stronger paddler, because it takes more effort to steer than it does to paddle. It takes more strength, it takes more stamina to steer than it does to paddle. Part of the need to get successfully navigating the river is to know the river. In our case, we need to know that the Ruach knows the river better. He knows life better than we do. He can see things better than we do. Because the Ruach knows his way better than we do, when we see something, it's by his counsel that hopefully we recognize it and can get around things. But it's only going to happen if He's doing the steering. He's the one who needs to be in the back of your canoe. He's got the stamina to steer. He's got the wisdom to get around the things in life. This can only be done by living a life that's intentional and intentionally living your life. I read a definition of living intentionally as co-authoring your life with the creator of the universe, Adonai, to make your highest contribution to yourself and the world. This means putting effort into your walk, into your decisions that need to be made every day of your life. We have a warning about being lazy in Proverbs. Proverbs 6:9. How long will you lie there, slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep, and your poverty comes like a bandit and your need like an armed man. We are not called to just coast through life. We are called to get up from our sleep. We are called to paddle with Adonai in our canoe, which is called life. And know that He is the one who steers. Don't try to take it away from Him. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his course, but Adonai directs his steps." We may want to go down the river, but Adonai is the one who has to steer us down the river. So we need to make the effort not only to live our lives intentionally, but also give our lives intentionally to Him. So to finish up, let me list out a few things to be intentional about in this life. Adonai and loving Him, right? We need to be intentional about Adonai. We need to be intentional about loving Him and loving others. Because we should all remember the verse that's used as weekly liturgy here. Deuteronomy 6:4, starting there. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." It must be in our core. It must be at our core and seen in as our duty to love Him first with everything that is us, everything that is within us. It is not only what we're called to do, but is what will prosper us the most. And when we do this in an intentional way, we will find that we truly become His disciples. And we can also do what it says when we read in John 13:13-35 of John, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So it ties it together, loving Him and therefore loving others go hand in hand. Don't believe that you can really do one without the other, guys. How can you love Adonai and not show love to others? And how can you actually love others if you don't love Adonai first? The next thing, prayer. We're called to be those in prayer and pray unendingly. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua." Great verse. It contains rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving. Even as we rejoice and give thanks to Adonai, I believe that the very center of these is prayer. Not because it's just named in the middle of the three things, but because through prayer, it can best express our joy, best express our thanks to Adonai. For all he is, for all he does, it includes everything. You know, our prayers to Adonai should not just be, I want, I want, I want. It must include our rejoicing in Adonai. It must include our thanks to Adonai for all that he is, all that he provides, all that he promises. He promises a hope and a future. Thank him for that. Both here on earth in this life as well as for eternity. Prayer must be intentional and not just drifting thoughts during the day. But they have to be directed towards him intentionally. Now, that doesn't mean hours secluded from everything so that you can pray, you know, earnestly and fervently. But it does mean having intentional times of communication with him. Next, acting according to the word. We are called to not just look upon Messiah, but to act for Messiah, to be his hands and feet. We read in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. We are called to do. Being is just not enough. Being a believer in Messiah Yeshua is not even just enough. We are called to be salt and light in Matthew 5. But what good is salt if it's left in a jar on a shelf? It doesn't give taste to anything in the jar. It doesn't preserve anything if it's left on the shelf. If it's separate, it does no good. And what good is light if it's placed under a basket? It can't split the darkness. It can't show a path for others or for yourself. We are called to intentionally act out our faith by living intentionally according to the words of Scripture. This means interaction with others by sharing and caring according to Adonai's words and works. These three things are some of the intentional actions that we should be taking. Without intention, we will only wander around. In order to walk a specific direction, it takes intention. Matthew 7 tells us that there is a target to aim for. Matthew 7:13, you're familiar with it. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Without intentional action to follow Adonai, you may think that you're on a path, but you will wander off because of that lack of attention to intention. So if we're walking without intention, we can miss the narrow gate. We're told to enter the narrow gate. You can only find the narrow gate when you're walking intentionally, when you're walking with direction, when you're walking with Adonai's Ruach within, giving you the direction, letting him steer your path. So let's focus our intention upon him and his ways. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you remind us that we need to be intentional about the way we walk. We need to be ones who come to you, not just to sit there and maybe, you know, think that we're in his presence, but, you know, unintentionally doing nothing. We need to be intentionally in your presence. We need to intentionally be speaking praise and honor and glory to you. We need to intentionally have our ears open to listen for what you would have us do. Father, we thank you that your word tells us to be intentional. We praise you and glorify you through it all. We just thank you. Amen and amen. So we are called to have an intentional life, intentional steps, intentional thoughts, because part of that intention will drive out those thoughts you shouldn't be having. If you are intentionally thinking on Adonai, all those unintentional thoughts will be pushed out. And that's the life we want. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to wrap up service today. We're going to thank him for the wine. We're going to thank him for the bread. We're going to thank him that he allows us to be intentional for him. Amen. Intentionally. Clean my hands. All right. So let's all stand as we thank him, first for the wine and then for the bread. So join with me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Amen. And now the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Rebbeson was able to make a homemade challah again. Good stuff. Amen. So the Lord has blessed his people through thousands of years the same way. He has told Moses to tell Aaron, this is the way you bless your people. So, allow me to be your Aaron today, to bless him, bless you for him. Stretch out your hands. If you're at home, stretch out your hands to the screen. Be blessed by Adonai. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevarechacha v'nishmarecha. Yer Adonai v'avlecha v'chunecha. Yasar Adonai b'navalecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Amen and amen. Have a great Shabbat, you at home. I pray you have a great Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. If you've been blessed by this message, please like it and share it. Shabbat Shalom, everybody at home. For those who are here, Shabbat Shalom. Join us for Oneg and then stick around for Torah for today. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.